again, I don't want to apologize for taking so much time and attention on the subject of temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. But I do believe that this is something that's really neglected in our religious world. And tonight we're going to deal with the subject of temperance of the body, the physical body. Now, when I'm talking about the body, I'm referring to that physical part of man that houses his soul. The body is a natural entity made up of physical senses that can taste, touch, hear, and see. God created man with a capacity to enjoy those things that are pleasant to his senses and his bodily appetites. And I don't think when most people realize how merciful and good God has been to us as human beings, giving us the capacity to enjoy life in these bodies. The Bible says in Genesis 2:9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 commands us to trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now the problem is that man, ever since the fall of Adam, ever since Adam sinned and seminally, as our federal head, the entire human race were counted as sinners because they proceed from Adam, seminally and naturally. Now the problem is that everybody that's a sinner has abused the very things that were intended for our pleasure by overindulgence and by sensuous excess. Now, there wouldn't be so many commands against excess in the Bible if it wasn't a problem with human beings. Moderation, self-control, self-denial. When have you heard in our modern world people talk about those things? These are biblical truths. These are found throughout the Word of God. The principles of moderation, self-control, self-denial, submission to authority, all in the Word of God. How you and I are to regulate our senses and our bodies. But these things must be exercised, or else the things that were intended for our pleasure soon become our masters through overindulgence. It's the reason why Paul wrote, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now you got people all over the spectrum. You've got people who are legalists, people who are antinomians, on both sides You know, basically, I've heard people say you don't believe in that I don't believe in free grace if I believe that we're to be regulated by the Word of God, that we're to love the Word of God, that we're to love the law of God. The Bible teaches us that. In fact, if you don't love God's Word and His law, you're not born of God. I mean, Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. God gives you a delight in His commands, in His truth, in His law to regulate your life. You need regulated. You need to be controlled by the Spirit and by the Word of God. Because if left to your own devices, you would be out of control. Paul the Apostle said that he, even though all things were lawful, not everything was expedient, and he had determined that he would not be brought under the power of anything other than obedience to Christ. That ought to be our goal. Now, perhaps the best way to look at this, why should I practice and desire the fruit of temperance as it relates to my body? Why is this such an important issue in the Christian life? And how can I reach that goal? I think the best way for the Christian to practice temperance with regard to his body is to remember that your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. That you have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And that your body is the temple in which the Holy Spirit of God dwells. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? He's asking this with a sense of an incredulous question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you're saved, you cannot, should not, do what you want, when you want, how you want, with your body. You should be yielded. You and I should daily say with our body, with our senses, with everything that's in us, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How will you use this body that's yielded to you for your glory today? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ. It belongs to God. He sent His Spirit as an earnest to ensure that one day you're going to reach glory and you're going to receive a glorified body. Our bodies are to be used for the glory of God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't it amazing that the things that the religious world thinks are too harsh and too extreme, God's Word says, no, this is reasonable for you to yield your body under the glory of God. Since our bodies are employed in the service of God, we have to endeavor to bring them under the control of the Spirit. I love old George Bethune. He wrote a book called The Fruit of the Spirit in 1830. I quote him a lot in the book that I wrote on the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what he said. The body of the Christian is, by the Spirit of God dwelling in him, made a habitation of God. With what care should we guard and preserve it from the least shadow of defilement? Every abuse of appetite is a sacrilege in the house of God, and temperance is the ministering angel to keep the temple pure. Our bodies are to be as sacrifices laid upon God's altar, living yet consecrated, as a reasonable duty in us, which God for Christ's sake will accept. It is difficult to imagine such a consecration of our bodies without a holy and cautious self-denial. For he who uses his body for God's glory and not merely for his own pleasure will have God's glory more than his pleasure in view, and not push his license to extremes. Temperance of the body. The only way you're going to understand the importance of this is if you understand that your body has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that it is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that it is considered to be the temple of God, in some respect, consecrated, set apart, sanctified for holy use. And you know what? If we're doing what's right, these bodies will carry us into the house of God. These bodies will run and flee from sin and ungodliness and immorality and unholiness. Our bodies will promote the glory of God. Now, I'm going to preach on something that hardly anybody ever even touches on. If we're going to practice temperance of the body, we have to be careful to guard against gluttony with regard to food and drink. Yes, I said it, and I'm not joking about it. You can ruin yourself by overindulgence of food and drink, remembering that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should use great care concerning what we put into our bodies. We should not abuse food or drink in a way that dishonors God. I wrote this book originally, I think I might have went through this series around 2000. Probably printed in 2008 after several revisions. But I have a statement here that I'm not sure is true anymore. The statement is this. I said, though drunkenness is not a widespread sin among Christians, I'm not sure if that's true anymore. Drunkenness may not be, but gluttony is. And both extremes are equally sinful and dishonoring to God. I believe it's in the best interest of every Christian to abstain from the private and social consumption of any and all alcoholic beverages. Now, part of that is due to, I don't want to sound like Mitt Romney, but I've got a severe prejudice. I'm a severe conservative when it comes to alcohol. Because I know what it does to people. I know what it did to me. I know what it's done in my family, in my extended family, and what it leads to. Nearly everyone who is a drug abuser probably started off by drinking and smoking pot that led to other things. I don't care how many times people say, well, all those things are being legal. It doesn't make any difference. What's wrong is wrong. I couldn't believe it when I went to Michigan to preach. There, they were slinging dope on every corner. There was a pot shop with all kinds of exotic names. One of them was called the House of Dank. I couldn't believe it. They're on every corner. Because Michigan just legalized recreational use of marijuana. I'm going to tell you what, from somebody who knows, alcohol and marijuana are gateways into the world of drugs. Mark it down. You know, I tell this to my kids. I taught it to my kids. I've told it to my grandkids. I tell them. And you say, well, these kids are so little. I want them to know how evil drunkenness and drug abuse are. And I tell them, we've got people that have been affected terribly in our entire family, on both sides of our family, by drink and by drugs. And it can ruin you. It can ruin your life. It can ruin your testimony. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Woe unto him that offereth his neighbor drink. To drink beer, wine, or hard liquor as a beverage in no way will enhance your ability to serve the Lord, but will, in effect, especially if abused, harm you both physically and spiritually. And it's for this reason the wise man wrote, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." If you want, you can ask my kids tonight. You can ask my grandkids. Have they ever seen any alcohol in our home? Not a drop. We don't drink it socially or privately. I'm against it. It's ruined a lot of homes. It's broke up a lot of homes. Drunkenness and drugs, because I think they're twin evils, they have caused a lot of domestic violence. They're at the root of a lot of hatred and bitterness. And so as a Christian, you need to flee from it. How does it help your testimony? How could it possibly make you more holy? Now, most preachers will preach against drunkenness with great zeal because most of the people they minister to aren't guilty of the sin. If you're a member of this church, you're not to drink alcohol privately or socially. Now, gluttony is a sin that a lot of Baptists are prone to. We have to govern our fleshly appetites for food and determine to eat only those things that are sufficient for our sustenance and our health. Yet oftentimes we find ourselves eating more than we need, as well as things that are detrimental to our health. I mean, I try to avoid salad. Now I'm just kidding. I try to eat as much bacon as I can. Now, I say that in jest, but, you know, you look at healthy people in the past that worked a lot, okay? A lot of times they'd get up and they'd eat a massive breakfast. They would eat eggs and potatoes and sausage, maybe pork chops, chicken. People used to make stuff like that, biscuits, and then they'd go out and work all day. They worked it off. They didn't sit around after they ate everything. But you got to watch what you eat. And if our diet consists of large quantities of foods that aren't good for us and are full of sugar, you know how I raised my first set of grandkids? When I was with them, Adelaide, Gavin, Ella, Emma. I had a mantra, and it was, no sugar. No sugar! And I'd pound it into them. And now what's funny is when Asher and Ezra get little bits of sugar, all the grandkids look at me and say, what's going on? When we were growing up, it was all we heard was this authoritative voice, no sugar. Well, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of sugar will kill you. That's why a lot of people have very poor health. And it's not in quantity only, but the quality of our food, that we have to practice self-denial. A.W. Pink said this, in general, the simpler and lighter the food, the more favorable to the health of the body and the health of the soul. Now, I have a decided bias. I am pro-meat. I was raised in a meat cutter's family. I've eaten everything. If it's part of a hog, I've eaten it because God's blessed it. But I don't eat it without restraint. You got to control what you're eating. But I sure don't believe in these PETA people that want to get rid of, that's nonsense. God's given us richly all things to enjoy, and I love pork sausage, I love ribeye steak, I love a good chuck roast with mashed potatoes and gravy and carrots and fresh corn. But I do it in moderation. And the older I've gotten, the more I regulate my diet. Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Now, a lot of preachers need to heed this message. Now, tobacco, and listen to me, kids, don't be smoking. It's stupid. Tobacco is not a food, but it's a product that is ingested that over time will destroy the health of the individual who consumes it. Smoking and chewing tobacco are not conducive to good health. Therefore, Christians should abstain from both of those nasty habits. I don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew. And I don't run with girls that do. Tammy doesn't do any of those things. God love her. Smoking won't send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you've been there. Chewing stains your teeth and gives you bad breath. And have you ever noticed when somebody spits out a big chaw of that junk? You know how nasty that is? Flies won't even land on it. You know what flies land on? Both of those habits do nothing to promote the glory of Christ. Therefore, they ought to be forsaken. They ought to be avoided with all diligence. I don't know why, how in the world, with all the emphasis against smoking, how they don't have that same emphasis against smoking pot. I mean, they're idiots. They say you ought not to smoke cigarettes, and then this dude, but I got this at the house of dank. I love smoking pot. It ought to be, that's nonsensical. It's idiotic. Because if regular cigarettes can harm you, then dope cigarettes can harm you. It just makes sense. Well, you know what? Preachers are too scared to preach on this stuff. Because they're worried, oh, am I going to offend so-and-so? How do they believe? I don't care. It's wrong. It'll ruin your testimony. Temperance of the body. Now, I didn't get all my points tonight, so we're going to have to cover them next week. I got two more dealing with temperance of the body. And then we're going to deal with temperance of our emotions and our speech as well. So I got a couple more messages on this, because I think it's sadly neglected in our world, in our religious world. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you.